and he asks you to watch his camera for him. You refuse. You have no interest in taking liability for the camera, sitting on the bleachers. But you tell him, look, I don't want to take care of the camera. I'll unlock my car. If you want to put it in the car, you could leave it in my car for the rest of the game. Okay? You unlock your car. He puts it in the car. You forget to lock it. Comes the end of the game. You return to your car. The camera's gone. Stolen. Now it's due to your negligence. You forgot to lock a car in a public parking lot. In that case, was there any assumption of responsibility? And would he be considered obligated in this matter? The reason why we're going to discuss it is because there is a clear request for responsibility. I asked him to take care of the camera, and he flatly refused. He said, absolutely not. I don't want to take responsibility for this. As an alternative to you leaving it on the bleachers, I'm instead offering you my car. So I'm not even necessarily offering my car as a safe haven, more the lesser of the two evils. Or do we say that since ultimately I offered you my car to act as the place where you can keep it safe for the interim, which was clearly the intent of everyone there, do I now take on responsibility of that? Anyone want to fire away? Mr. Stotten didn't come in yet.
Was it stipulated that there would be no extra protection than it would be on the bleachers, or it was just wasn't said one way or another?
There was nothing. No stipulation.
He didn't say that he would lock the car.
He didn't say anything, but isn't that the assumption? It's a public parking lot.
Well, I think it makes a big difference.
Okay.
Why would he want to move it?
Because either he made it tonight that he's not responsible at all.
No, tonight. It's his two friends hanging out on the bleachers together.
Well, I mean, saying that I'm not taking responsibility if you could put it in my car, that's deny, essentially. He's saying, go ahead, you have a safer place, but I'm not taking responsibility, so it's not.
Okay. Now, if I said I'm not taking responsibility for what happens in my car, that's one thing. But I didn't say that. I said, I'm not taking your camera. If you want, you can put it in my car. That's the extent of the conversation.
Okay, then I would say that the assumption that he would lock the car is an assumption, but it's not. He's saying I'm not being a shimer.
It's clearly a negligence. That for sure. Anyone who doesn't lock their car, I mean, in every parking garage, it says, like, all over the place you look, you know, we are not responsible, hide your keys, lock the car, whatever it is.
Right.
So there's a clear negligence, but at the same time, it's not clear who assumed the responsibility for this object, for the camera. And that's really the focus I want to discuss today. I'll give the second case study, and then we'll try to work through the SIG in the background. How am I doing so far?
Great.
Okay. Number two, your friend is leaving town for the week, and here in South Florida, anytime you're out, you try to find someone in. You rent it out to a vacationing family, and your friend, who now rented out his house, asks you if he can park his car in your driveway to make room for the vacationing family's car. You agree? Sure. You want to park in my driveway? No problem. You mentioned that you're out of town, and you're coming back the next day. So you're not going to be there to receive the car, but if he wants, he can park the car in your driveway and Uber to the airport. That's what he does. Parks the car in your driveway, leaves the keys in your mailbox, and Ubers to the airport. What he didn't realize is that he was trying to be nice, and he parked to the side of your driveway instead of the actual driveway, because he didn't want to take up your spot, even though you didn't care. You have more than one spot. So I'll park on the grass near his side. He wasn't paying attention that he parked under your coconut tree. You come back the next day, you realize what happened, and you say, this is a bad spot. I don't park here for a reason. It's not like coconuts fall all the time, but like, once in a random while, if it's a windy night, you know, something happens, so I try to avoid that spot. You get back late at night, you don't have the time and patience to deal with this, say I'll move it in the morning after a good night's sleep. As Providence has, that night was a windy night, you come out, he's got a few dents on the hood, and a new sunroof through the windshield. You call him to let him know what happened, and he's furious, understandably so. And he says, you're responsible to pay. There was an obvious negligence. You didn't tell me you have a coconut tree. And when you saw it, you for sure should have moved it once you knew that it was under that spot. So you reply. What do you think he replies? Any takers? Josh, help me out.
Tough luck.
Tough luck. Have a nice day. Why? You told him he could park there. Isn't it your responsibility?
There's no consent. He's not getting anything for it.
Okay, so I'm Shemrachinim. I'm free. So I have to pay for my negligence.
And he wasn't there, right?
I was not there, but I came back and I saw it.
How did he know about the coconuts?
I'm sorry?
How did he know about the coconuts? He didn't.
But I came there and I saw that this thing is parked under the coconut tree and this guy's in trouble. Was I obligated right then to move it? So we could really split this into two conversations. One, was it considered negligence on my part and the fact that he parked in a horrible spot? I didn't put in the negligent place. he put himself already into a negligent situation.
But he didn't know about the coconuts.
He didn't know about it, but is that my problem? And more importantly, number two, is that was there even a request for me to watch his car? All he asked was, can I use your driveway? I said, sure, use my driveway. But what does that have to do with me being responsible for his car? That's the question.
Did you become a shomer with this, that you gave him permission to park in your house, in your driveway?
Do you become one? That's the question I have.
You said, bring it in. He didn't say, I'm watching it for you.
I was prepared for a pushback from Mr. Stock, but from the rich Okay, so those are two case studies. I want to bring a little bit of the background of the sugya, see what Halach has to say about it. And like I said, I did not complete the sugya. I can only present what I know as of now. But I would really honestly love to hear from what you guys have to say about what you would think the civil law would require in this case.
Well, before you go on, just one thing. Even if the car was not in the person's driveway, I guess the question is there a concept in Jewish law where if you have the ability to, like, very minimal effort to stop injury to someone's property, are you responsible to do it if you could? Right.
Potentially.
If you could, like, move it out of the way, like, even if it's totally not your property, not your area, it's you have no otherwise responsibility for it, but if you could just, you shouldn't have to do anything Herculean, but if you could do something, like, minimal or reasonable to just, because you see something that another guy just is not able to see at the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're asking more than just be a mensch, are you actually obligated to do that? And the answer would be is that it's going to get up into the question of whether it's an aveda. If it is considered a lost object, where now I have a responsibility to get it out of danger. Now, in this case, it's a little bit ambiguous because it's not like coconuts fall all the time. It's just occasionally it could happen. It's not something that's going to for sure happen. I was clearly confident enough that I decided to go to sleep instead of moving that night, and my bad luck had it that there was a little gust of wind that hit the few coconuts. So it's hard to justify in this case that it'd be considered a lost object or an object that you know damage is going to happen to it. Okay, so with that, let's get a little into the sugya, and you know, everyone's welcome to chime in as we go through it. The first and foremost thing is that anytime there's any transference of responsibility, there's two things that have to happen. Number one, there has to be a request or an initiation from the owner requesting there should be a transfer of responsibility. If there's no request, there's no initiation, then it doesn't make a difference who's on the other side. There's no reason why I'm assuming responsibility on this. This is your thing. Unless you ask otherwise, it's your responsibility. The second thing, which is where most of our discussion is going to be today, is that in as much as there's a request, how do I accept responsibility? What do I have to do in order for me to assume responsibility? Is there any sort of language which would obligate me, make me exempt? How do I take it on? Fair enough? Okay, so let's focus on the first part in regards to actual request, and then we'll talk about more in the acceptance of the request. The Gemara gives a classic example of what a Shomer Chinam would look like. I approach a person and I say, Shmarli, can you please guard my thing for me? Can you watch it for me? And he says, sure. And the wording the Gemara uses is Hanach Lefonai, place it in front of me, meaning to say, I'll take care of it, I got this. The Gemara says that is a bona fide classic Shomer Chinam, where I assume total responsibility for this object. Because you fill both parts. There's a request, there's an initiation, and as well as an acceptance of that request. Now, what comes tricky is that there are Rishonim ask on this Gemara, is that do you have to explicitly verbalize the request? Seemingly from this Gemara, you do. The Gemara's case is, Shemarli, guard it for me, watch it for me. The problem is the Gemara, in a different place in Bava Kamma, has a similar case, but a slightly different wording. I come over to you and I ask, do you mind if I leave my, you know, flower vase in your backyard? And you respond,
Nah,
nothing doing. You're a smart man. But the guy who's not smart says, yeah, I mean, sure, you can leave your stuff in my yard. No problem. In that case, all I did was request permission. I never requested for you to take on responsibility of the object. I just asked, do you mind if I leave it in your backyard? So yeah, I have like permission into your yard. I'm sorry?
That's like the phone with the car. Then.
Exactly. So we're going to get into the nuances from there. And the case, that case where I ask permission of entry into your property, there's machlekes in Gemara. There is. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay. From my understanding, now is when the fun begins.
Really? Just to catch you up, we were talking about bailments, and I'm going to ask them at some point, like if a bank takes your money, do they have any responsibility?
It's a warehouse for money.
It's a warehouse for money.
So the discussion at hand is that we have one source, we have one Gemara telling us that the only time an assumption of responsibility will happen is when there's a direct, explicit request that I ask you, take responsibility for my object. But now we have another Gemara telling us that even without a direct request, simply asking you for permission to enter your property, there's machlekes in the Gemara whether you also assume responsibility for the object. For example, in the case where I mentioned to you, do you mind if I come into your property? I'm holding my flower vase. I put it down. And right then, either the neighbor kicks over a soccer ball and knocks over the vase, or my dog comes and knocks over the vase. Now there's no more vase. Who takes on responsibility for that object? So according to one of the opinions in the Gemara, from the virtue of the fact that I even gave you permission to enter my property, that welcoming invite also includes that I take on responsibility for the things that you bring in there. Maybe not when he's there. As long as you're there holding the flower vase, we can understand that you're still a responsible party. But if you leave for the moment, it's under my responsibility to make sure nothing happens to it. At the end of the day, the Gemara has a dispute about this. We paskin not like that. But as we'll see, there will be certain nuances of what we do and don't. But just to not lose focus, the point of why I want it from this Gemara, which the Rosh Hashanim asked, is that in that case, there is no explicit request for you to take on responsibility. Simply asking permission to enter your property seems to be counted for a request of taking on responsibility as well. So now we're stuck with, how do we take on responsibility? Do I need an explicit request? Or as long as circumstantially it's evident that I want you to assume responsibility, that's equivalent as asking you explicitly. Is that clear so far? Okay, excellent. So ultimately, the way halacha rules is that as long as there is clearly evidence from the circumstance that I am expecting you to take on responsibility for this thing, that is equivalent as asking something explicitly. And therefore, there is no need to verbalize it to say that I want you to guard it. The only case where I would actually have to verbalize, please guard this thing or please watch this thing for me, is in a case where it would not be clearly evident from the circumstance that I want you to take it on. For example, it gets a little bit tricky in how this would play into our modern time cases, but let's say I ask you to put it into a safe place. So instead of going to your backyard, I say, do you mind if I leave this in your safe? Once it's in your safe, there's no proactive guarding or watching that's necessary. So I clearly wasn't asking you to watch it, I was just asking, can I leave it in your safe? So if something will then happen from there, it's clearly not your responsibility because you were never taking on responsibility to actively guard this thing or watch it. You were simply being the conduit for the safe to have this person put in a safe spot. That's the only case where I have to verbally express take on responsibility. Barring that, as long as it's evident from the situation, the request is there and you're on.
So suppose there's something happens that's beyond the invitee's the invitor's control. Like a robber comes on the property, and that's, he's doing the best he can to safeguard it, but the robber comes on and there's nothing he can do about it. Is he still responsible?
That's an excellent question. And it would depend on which category of watchman halachically you're classified as. If a person is under a borrower, that I am borrowing this from you for free, I now assume full responsibility, even for something that's beyond my control. If you're a paid watchman, that I ask you, can you please watch my dog, and I'll pay you $20 a day for it, whatever it is, then there are some responsibilities you take on. The case that we're going to discuss, which I mentioned two case studies we're going to go back to soon, is someone who's doing it for free. I'm asking you as a favor to watch my thing. According to halacha, the only thing which you become responsible for is negligence. If something is stolen, lost, beyond your responsibility, you have no control for it. When you're doing someone a favor to watch it, the only thing you're held accountable for is negligence. Is that good?
That basically answers my question.
Okay, fantastic. So I'm one for one. Let's keep the streak. Okay. Now, that's regards to the first part of the request. The fun starts when we get to accepting the request. Because, as we said, as long as circumstantially it's evident that I want you to take this and you assume responsibility, good, you're in. But that's only the request. I ultimately have to accept responsibility in order for me to be obligated. So how does that come about? So the Gemara describes three different words, language, verbiage, not sure what the right way to use this. I don't want to talk to the lawyers who are good at the underwriting about this. But the Gemara says three examples. One example is hanach lefonai, place it in front of me. That was the initial case we said, which is a classic acceptance of shmirah. You ask me for something, I say, place it in front of me, I got it, that's considered a shmirah. The other extreme would be if he says, hanach lefonecha, put it in front of you, I don't want this. You know, you can put it on my property, whatever it is, just leave me out of it. It's your thing, your responsibility. I'm not going to stop you from putting it on my property, but I'm not assuming any responsibility. The Gemara says clearly in that case there is no assumption of responsibility, even though you explicitly asked me for it, but my wording indicated that I'm not accepting that. The middle case is where he just says, put it down. But he doesn't say put it down in front of me, and he doesn't say put it down in front of you. So it's kind of ambiguous. We're not really clear what to do with this non-committal wording of just put it down. You know, I got this, I don't got this, you have it, I have it, we're not sure. And the answer is the Gemara is not sure either. It's an avodah yeshita, and therefore la halacha, we come out, we cannot obligate someone for this if he just says put it down. Because we're unsure of it, we can't force him to be obligated for it. Now, there's one more example which is going to come up very relevant to our case of the car, both for the camera and for the coconuts, is that let's say you tell the guy, and the Gemara gives a story, Friday afternoon, a guy's running late. He's got his money bag with him, and he says, it's too close to Shabbos, can you take this for me and watch it? You say, my house is open. Habesa kamach. It's available for you. Leave me out of this. That's the wording. Very similar to Hanach Lefonecha, that you take in your responsibility. The Gemara says clearly in that case, you're not going to be considered a Shomer whatsoever. And the reason why it's very important to understand this is because now we have an example where I gave explicit permission for you to come in. You could use my property. You could use my home. At the same time, because I worded it just so, I don't take on responsibility, which means we can start splitting hairs. I can give you permission to come in, but at the same time, it'll be clearly evident that I'm not taking on responsibility for the object. So the wording that you use is going to be very, very crucial to how we go forward in any acceptance of responsibility. Now, any questions so far? All good. So let's just quickly recap. We have two elements. We have the request, we have the acceptance. And the request, as long as it's evident from the circumstance, you're on. When it comes to the acceptance of it, we see that non-committal, ambiguous wording does not take on acceptance of responsibility. It has to be leaning more towards the lushan of I am accepting responsibility in order for you to take on a din of shomer. There are three points in regards to acceptance which are going to be exceptions to the examples as well as, you know, qualifying it of when it does work and when it doesn't work. That's important for us to mention. The first is the Rush. The Rush, who lived approximately later 1200s, early 1300s, he has an example as follows. You have a guy who's going on a trip. Going to Chicago? So back in the day, Skokie, sorry. It wasn't by car, it was by donkey. Now in those days, whenever you're traveling, as much as we think it's difficult to travel in a van full of kids and stuff, traveling on a donkey was much more difficult. Anything that wasn't strapped on properly, anything that wasn't saddled correctly, there'd be stuff getting lost all the time, all over the place. Stolen, lost, you name it, it was gone. So I ask you, Josh, do you mind if I strap on my shoes to your donkey and you'll take it to Chicago for me? You say, donkey's there. The same wording that we mentioned, the non-committal, I don't want to take responsibility for this thing, donkey's in front of you. Do whatever you want with it. Says the Rush, even though usually that non-committal wording will not accept responsibility, in this case it will. And he says, because there's one fundamental difference. In every case that we've discussed up to now, I, the owner of the object, am still somewhat present and can technically watch my own thing. As a convenience, I'm asking you to do the favor for me and watch it. But at the same time, I did not, in heart and soul, 100% give this over to you. In this case, says the Rush, you are the only possible and practical person who can guard this thing. If not you, it's nobody. Because you're leaving town, and I'm sure not following you to Chicago. Says the Rush, in that example, where it's so clearly evident that I'm banking on you to take responsibility for my object, any wording which is not a flat refusal, anything that has room for interpretation, you take on responsibility. And therefore, since you said, well, my donkey's in front of you, do what you want, usually if you're around and we could say, I'm just doing you a favor, you're still here, you could watch yourself, we understand that that wording means that I don't want it. But in such a case where it's so evident from the circumstance that I need you, I really need you because I can't do this, you're the only guy available to do this, if you don't flatly refuse, says the Rush, you take on responsibility.
Even if you say I'm not taking on responsibility?
No, because if you say explicitly that I don't do it, that's fine. The reason why this is different
explicitly.
Is because the wording I said leaves not much, but a little bit of room for interpretation. So the circumstance overrides the implication of your words.
If you said explicitly, you said explicitly. But short of that...
Is that clear? This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. There are those that disagree with the Rush. However, seemingly, most of the authorities rule like this as well, that you could have a case where the circumstance is so strongly evident that I need you to take responsibility for this thing, Any ambiguous wording doesn't work. You have to say clearly, flat refusal, I don't want this, in order for you to be exempt. That's step one. Step two is, we mentioned briefly the concept that when I ask you permission to enter your yard and I bring my vase with me, so do you assume responsibility? You were smart and said no. But for the guy who says, yes, you know, you're welcome to come into my yard. We la halacha rule that just giving permission to my yard does not assume responsibility. That's how we pass them like Rebbe. However, there's two caveats to this halacha. Number one, the Geis Ashri says, very similar concept to the Rush we just mentioned. When I give someone permission to come into my property, ultimately, he could really show up if he wants. It's my backyard, it's my front yard, it's my car, whatever it is. I mean, I don't invite people to just come in all the time, but if someone would come in and check on their thing, it's fine, you know? So in some reality, he's still present, by mind at least. Says the Geis Ashri, let's say I give you permission to come into my house. So instead of me asking you, can I go to your yard, I said, do you mind if I put my vase in your house? And you say, sure, come on in, the vase is there. Says the Geis Ashri, nobody lets people, I mean most people, just frequent their house as they please, in and out, go in there.
When you sell your chametz, you're supposed to, right?
When you sell your chametz, so
you have to rent the house then too.
Yeah, we did have that once upon a time, and the person we sold our chametz to had a habit of going around to the most affluent Jews in the Dallas community and enjoyed the best of their liquor cabinets. Wow. Until one year he couldn't walk anymore, so he toned it down a little bit. But it was an open invitation. We all said, come on in. And he would take the most expensive bottles, enjoy them, and then he limited it to just one or two people a year. But, okay. So says the Geis Ashri, in that case where I invite someone to my house, it's a very similar concept as the Rush. Nobody can watch something in my house because you are not allowed in my house, you are not allowed to ask, nobody's there. So if it's not me taking responsibility for this, then who is? Says the Geis Ashri, in that case where I give you explicit permission to come into my house with this thing, I'm assuming responsibility because now no one else has the ability to watch it except for me. So it's understood that I'm taking it on.
It's the same concept as the Rush.
Right, same concept as the Rush, as I mentioned. But there is one difference. The Geis Ashri says, you still have the liberty to say, my house is open for you, you can do whatever you want with it, but I'm out. He still can agree that if you almost explicitly mention that my house is just a place for you to store it, but leave me out of this, that works. But at least the concept we can understand is that in a circumstance where it's so evident that you have to take responsibility for this, because if not you, nobody else will, that's a case where you take on responsibility. Even just by granting permission without actually taking on full responsibility. The last thing is that in that case that we have of Rebbe, where I grant permission and I may or may not assume responsibility, there's a big difference whether the damage came because of me or from somebody else. So going back to the example I gave you, let's say I put the vase in your yard. If the neighbor kicks over a soccer ball and knocks it, that has nothing to do with me. But if my dog comes in and takes it and knocks it over, then I would be obligated. Meaning, even though Rebbe says that in the yard, barring the house, but in the yard, I don't assume responsibility, says many of the authorities, many of the Rishonim and Acharonim, that that's only something that comes from the outside. But if you give someone permission, for sure you have to make sure that none of your stuff damages, even if it wasn't on purpose, but you are obligated for any negligence that came about through you. So if your dog knocks over my vase, even though it's in the yard, so you could technically walk in and check up on it, I become responsible for that negligence. This is a massive, massive argument la halacha. The Shulchan Aruch makes no mention of this, seeming to say that you are totally exempt, even if it comes from you. The Ramah in one place mentions it, and the other place leaves it out, which leaves many people scratching their heads, what does he hold at the end of the day? The Shach brings a Rishal who supports that you are obligated to pay from your negligence, and the Taz says, this is too hard, no one knows what the halacha is, and therefore I can't obligate anyone to pay.
Are there degrees of negligence in that case? In other words,
yes.
Someone is responsible, not being negligent, but suppose they're grossly negligent. They invite the danger to the goods. Are they responsible in that case?
Yes. So it's an excellent question, and really this is, like I mentioned, that I'm only starting the top. We didn't even define yet what type of negligence I'm going to be obligated for. So I can't fully answer the question because I don't know myself, but it would seem like any gross negligence, even if it's not down to the end, for example, we talk about a case where let's say I started with a negligence, but ultimately something out of my control happened. For example, I leave the vase. You ask me, can you please guard my vase? No ambiguity, no non-committal wording. Point blank. Please watch my vase for me, guard it. You say, absolutely, I will be your guardian. So there's no questions asked. You for sure take on a din of a shomer, of a guardian. But you leave it in a ridiculous spot. You put it in the backyard where the kids play, the dogs play, and you know that thing is going to get smashed. To your luck, instead of your kid smashing it, lightning strikes. So it was beyond your control for lightning striking, but ultimately your negligence. That's one of the largest cases that we have in regards to Shiasat Tiyatilas, Akim Ba'inis.
No causation.
And we'll come back next time to discuss that in a different week. But
no causation, but you put it into...
No, but you, what
you didn't fulfill
wrong,
your
high,
you didn't fulfill your responsibility as a shomer.
That's not what
caused what ended up happening without your fault.
You're a but for cause, but there's no proximate cause.
Right, in legal terms, right. I don't think you would be responsible. It's an act of God, anyways, if it's lightning. But even if, let's say, you just, I guess it would be another situation.
You failed in your responsibility, but ultimately the damage wasn't caused because of you.
Right,
right. So you're saying, La'alacha, you would be responsible.
You would think as a society you'd want to encourage people doing favors in the community, but if you have a low level of negligence, then people are just going to be like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take that on that responsibility. So if you make it just a gross negligence, then you'll encourage more people. You know, there's a concept in Torah. I remember in Sukkot we learned about the with the crossbeam.
Yeah.
And they changed the halakha.
Right. Right. So the answer is I can't fully answer because I don't know to what level of negligence. But I'll say my own logic for a minute. Why are you even obligated in the first place? I'm doing you a favor. You asked me to watch your thing. I said, sure. Are you going to pay me for it? No. Just a favor? Just a favor. Okay, I'll take it on. So why am I even obligated in the first place? I mean, anything short of me taking a hammer and smashing your thing, who cares? Why should I be obligated? So what? I was negligent. Negligent for what? I'm doing you a favor. I didn't need anything.
No, but you committed. What do you mean?
You committed to what? You committed to doing you a favor.
To watch it.
Okay, so I watched it haphazardly.
Part of the favors imply that you're going to take care of it. You're going to treat it the same as you would treat goods of your or possessions of your own.
So it wouldn't be true because I'm not going to be obligated for it to be stolen or for it gets lost. And if I really cared about it that much, I would definitely be more careful in the place I put it. So even though I wasn't negligent at all, if I was really cared about this, I would put it in a much better hiding spot. I think the answer is because logically, let's think about it for a second. The type of negligence we're dealing with might answer the question of what type gross negligence or minor negligence is that the type of negligence that you did that brought about this catastrophe is close to basically taking a hammer and smashing it. So I'm doing you a favor. I really should have no obligation on this thing at all. You ask me a favor? Sure. I'll take care of it. No problem. But anything short of me being so negligent with it that it's like I practically broke it on my own, it is possible, you could say logically, that I never assumed responsibility for that. Maybe a very minor negligence, but it's something so commonplace that even people would do that own stuff, it's very possible you wouldn't be obligated for that. But the type of negligence we could all agree you're obligated on is that it was so clear that this was so negligent, it was bound to happen. I mean, for all intents and purposes, take a hammer and smash it. What were you
locking
waiting for?
Locking a car, you're not always, people don't always lock their car.
Okay, so then we're going to get back to that case, okay? Fine. So the last thing I want to mention is that, just as a quick recap, we're discussing the idea of accepting responsibility, okay? Assuming responsibility. We said that ultimately any non-committal, ambiguous wording is not an accepting as, and will not assume responsibility. However, we have cases where the circumstance will override that. The case of the rush, where if it's not you, no one's going to watch this. You have to clearly and explicitly say you're not taking it. The guy's usher, you invite me into your house. If it's not you, it's nobody. I can't do it. Then you have to flatly refuse. Otherwise, you assume responsibility. There's one other thing, really as a side point, is that in order for me to assume responsibility, for me to be a shomer, do I have to make any sort of halachic acquisition to take this thing? Let's say you just verbally ask me, will you guard my thing? I say yes. And before anything happens, boom, something happens. I don't have a chance really to guard it. There is a dispute amongst the Rishonim whether do I have to make any sort of kinyan, whether it be being in my property acquires it, whether I actually have to pick it up, take it from you, in order for me to even start the assumption of responsibility. L'halacha, we rule that you do. Anything which happens before you had any sort of form of acquisition onto the actual object, you do not take on responsibility for. And therefore, in all these cases, we're going to get back to the camera and to the car, it has to be either in my property has assumption doing it, a car, it's malachas, but it's not moving. Is that a kinyan?
Yeah.
And a donkey, I think they say not, but the car, I think it's like really parked. I think it could.
You have to change
that would also assume. Okay. So, let's just, before we get on to back to the case studies, let's get to just a quick summary before we said in the beginning. Number one, we said in order for anyone to assume responsibility, if there's any transfer responsibility, there has to be a request. And we came out clear, a request is not to be explicit or verbal. Anything which is implied from the situation is constitutes a request. However, number two, in the reverse, it's not true. Just because the request can be made by being circumstantially evidenced, the acceptance will not be. The acceptance has to be much more explicit, either by case of Hanach Lefonai, placing it in front of me, in order for it to be acceptance or responsibility. Number three, any time where the circumstance is so strong that it's clear that he needs you to take responsibility from it, in that case is anything short of a flat refusal, you'll assume responsibility for that. Number four is that, I need to have some sort of acquisition onto this thing. If I don't have any acquisition at all, you just verbally ask me and I verbally agreed, but nothing more happened from there. I do not take on responsibility until something happens. So let's go back to our cases. I'll repeat the cases so anyone who wasn't here before can go through it. Should I read the whole case or just summarize it? Either way. Okay, so I'm going to read the case so Mr. Sock can help us out over here. We want to hear what you have to say because I don't have a full answer yet. Okay. So please let me know what you think. One more time. Case number one. You and your friend go to a neighborhood park to watch your kids playing a Little League baseball game. Your friend, being a photographer, brings along his camera to take a few shots of the kids. He's asked to help out on the field, and he turns to you and asks you, will you please watch my camera? You say, absolutely not. I don't want to take responsibility for this thing. But you offer, if you want, I can unlock my car and you can leave it in the car. So he goes, you unlock your car, he leaves it in the car. It's better than sitting on the bleachers and leaving the camera in the bleachers, but you forget to lock your car. You come back after the game, no more camera. What would we say in that case?
We'd say the guy is responsible.
Okay.
He's negligent.
So he was potentially negligent, but let's work through it one by one. Did I ever request responsibility? Yes. And did I refuse?
Yes.
Okay. So...
But then you offered him an alternative under which you accepted responsibility.
Okay, excellent. And this is going to be the crux of the question. By offering an alternative, are you taking our responsibility, or you're simply saying that I'm not taking responsibility for this? I mean, you could leave it on the bleacher, or you could leave it in my car, whatever you want.
Well,
but it's not me.
If you said you could put it in my car, but I'm not responsible, then that would be a different story. But if he says you could put it in my car, that wouldn't be implied that he's accepting responsibility because he has control over the car.
Okay, so let's pick apart what you just said for a moment. There was a clear request because circumstantially, yes, it was evident that I wanted you to take responsibility. But what did we say? In regards to my acceptance of the request, anything that's non-committal, anything that's ambiguous, is not going to be considered a halakhic acceptance of responsibility. So by me offering an alternative for your car, even if it may be somewhat implied that I'll take responsibility for it, but how do we look at it? Is it similar to Hanach Lefonai, that place it in front of me, I'll take care of it? Or is it more, Habes Kamach, the car is there. I'm not taking responsibility. You asked me and I said no. If you don't want to leave it on the bleacher, you could use my car, but the car is there. Leave me out.
Why would someone want to put it in the car if the camera was exposed to danger? They wouldn't do it.
The answer is that it's a better alternative. You're right. The person requesting it, the owner of the camera, certainly wants you to take responsibility of it, but ultimately, did you, in the wording that you say, give off a clear acceptance of responsibility, or did you just say this is the lesser of the two evils?
I think that the responsibility in that case would be implied, and you know, it's understandable. Someone said, look, I don't want to have to sit here and watch your camera, but if you put it in my car, it's more passive, and we'll take care of it that way.
Maybe one could argue that it's understood also that the owner of the car is not near the car either. He's also in the game. So in other words, it's just like the opposite and inverse of the rush, where he's basically clearly saying, I'm not going to be involved because I'm not there either. So
that's kind
of like... But the counter to that would be is that, yes, you're not there, but most people lock their car in a public parking
lot. Exactly. So the point of the matter is, he doesn't have to be there, but he's offering an alternative. Look, we'll lock up the car, we'll keep it there, and you're better off than, you know, than just leaving it on the bleacher.
So if he says we'll lock up the car, then probably for
well,
sure.
Well, it's implied. Right. Of course he's going to lock up the car. He's going to put a sign up. Camera available for the day.
It depends where in San Francisco.
I was going to say, you put some lock the windows. Where, right. Don't lock their doors.
Yeah, sure. It's easier. It makes it easier for them. They don't have to break the windows.
So, I'll be honest. I really don't have a clear, you know, answer. It would seem to me that I believe I agree with Mr. Stock, is that, and as much as we said that in regards to accepting responsibility, that you have to have a clear, like, almost wording of that I am accepting responsibility, it would sound more to me that by my offering the alternative and letting you use my car is very, very similar to saying, I'll take care of it, Hanak Lafana. The counter to this is like we're saying, and like the Reish Kohel is mentioning, is that as much as I'm offering you my car as a place for you to leave it, I'm not really assuming responsibility. It was kind of the lesser of the two evils and just the alternative. I'm by the game, you're by the game. I don't want it here, you don't want it here. If you want to put it in the car, try it out.
Well, we're not talking about absolutes. There's a responsibility relative to leaving it in the car, as opposed to responsibility that I'm going to watch this, you know, and would care for it with my life.
Correct. So the answer is that you're right. In regards to negligence, it's 100% negligence. But the question is, go a step before that. Did I even assume responsibility in the first place to be obligated for the negligence? And that's really where you get tricky. This is a very nuanced type of case, and you have to really read into the wording to know what was his intention behind saying that or not. Do you have any opinion on the matter? It sounds like a basic kamach, but at the same time, it's a little different than it's coming from my own initiation. My own initiation is almost like a clear invitation of I'm giving you my car to use because I have all guarded.
It depends where you live. Meaning, in the case of your house, we put it into my house, which is that no one, without clout, people are not coming into my house to steal it from my house. You put it in your car, you know, if you live on 170th Street, then, you know, people come by and break into your car. I decided just now that it was stole his purse, whatever. It happens. So if the Matthias is that, if you live in an area where people are breaking into cars that are not locked, so then if you're offering to put it into the car, so there's no mileage putting it in the car, a chutz of the fact that it'll be locked. If you're not locking the car, so then why the way I put it into your car? Because I'd rather keep it over here.
But that's not true, because here in the bleachers, it's definitely better off in the car. You'd rather take the chance of it being stolen than sitting on the bleachers.
I was going to say, is it really a gross negligence to leave it in a car that's unlocked?
It is for sure a gross, even if with the other saying, in a public parking lot where it could be understood that. I mean, we could argue how negligent it is, but let's go with the assumption it is negligence. Really, the point that I want to focus on is that, did I even take on responsibility in the first place?
Right.
Then what were you offering when you said put it in the car?
So let me change the case a little bit. Let's say he asks you,
what are you offering? What are you telling the guy? Don't leave it on the bleachers. Let's get it stolen in the car. That's not what you're offering.
I mean, what are your chances? You're definitely getting it. If you're a betting man, the car is definitely a better place than the bleachers.
It's like the Chinese laundry. You want me to lose it in a box or burn it on a
Okay.
What if you lock it, but then they break the window open?
So then it wouldn't be a problem.
No,
that's
not
it.
No, that's
not
it.
Yeah.
And then they break the
window.
So that would be the cost of shit, I find. That would be that question.
Should the camera behind pay for the window?
Right.
Possibly, right. That would be a good one. Okay. So, again, that would be it. I definitely hear what you're saying. It's very viable. At the same time, it's very possible that it would be so... Even though it's coming from my own initiation, so my offer almost sounds like I'm taking responsibility for it, but ultimately it's coming off of the heels of a flat refusal. We know so clearly this guy wants no responsibility for this camera whatsoever. So I'm just offering you a better alternative. I mean, you can have 80% chance it'll break on the bleachers or 20% in my car.
Why would he make an offer? He's offering him something.
He's offering a lesser chance of it getting broken. On the bleachers, that thing is gone.
Wow.
Then in my car, you know, it's possible, but you never know.
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's go to the next
case. So I want
to
go to the next case. We'll finish up with this. The last case is, and the second case that we discussed, which, you know, we touched up to make it a little more Florida friendly, was your friend is leaving town. And in Florida, leaving town means you try to get someone in. And he rents out his house to a vacationing family. Now he asks you, do you mind if I leave my car in your driveway? Because I want to make room for the vacationing family's car. You agree? Sure, no problem. Park it in my driveway. That's all right. But you tell him you're out of town. You'll only be back the next day. So if he wants, he could leave the keys in your mailbox, in case for whatever reason he needs a hold of it, and he'll Uber to the airport from your driveway. No problem. He parks his car in your driveway, leaves the keys in the mailbox, Ubers to the airport. The following day, you come back, and you realize that he was trying to be a nice guy, and instead of parking in your driveway, he didn't want to take up your spot, even though you have multiple spots, it wasn't necessary. He parked on the side by the grass. Now, unknowingly, he parked under your coconut tree. You come back late at night from your trip, you see the car is there, you say, I don't park there because it's not all the time, but every once in a while, if there's a strong wind, a coconut falls. You're too tired to work with it now, you say, I'll deal with it tomorrow morning, I'll move his car. Lo and behold, that night, windy night, boom. Couple dents in the hood, new sunroof in the windshield, and now you call him up and you tell him what happened. Understandably, he's upset, he says, it's your negligence. You told me I could park anything, you didn't tell me it was a coconut tree, and if you saw it, you for sure should have moved it. You reply, I didn't accept any responsibility on your car. You asked me if I could park in your driveway. I said, the space is yours. Do what you want. I never said I'm responsible for your car. More importantly, you parked it in a negligent spot. It had nothing to do with me. It's not like I took your car and parked it under the coconut tree. You did it to yourself. What do you want me to do about it? What do you have to say?
I would say that the guy put his car in the zone of danger, and he's responsible for what he did.
He didn't know about the coconut.
Well, he should have informed him.
Maybe the guy
didn't give him the whole house. He gave him a limited area to put the car. So
I think that other point, like he didn't park it where he said he was gonna, where he was told to park it.
But this is Florida. People park anywhere and everywhere, and that's why I didn't say the case of Swale, because I don't know how Swale would work under like your obligation or not. But I mean, people park all over the place.
Okay, that was his choice.
A coconut only falls for Ryoshin Mitsuya, and that has a level of Aveda.
So I'm not sure, and that's, we could really discuss what, how negligent this case is, but if you know enough, if you're careful enough that you don't park your own car there, you know, it would probably be enough of a negligence that you would do it. But I don't know. This might get into the question before of gross negligence or minor negligence. I don't know what's the legal term. Gross and minor? Okay.
Ordinary negligence.
I didn't park it there.
I'm sorry?
I didn't park it there.
Correct, but when you saw it there, we have two questions in the evidence. A, were you responsible for telling him, I have a coconut tree, just be careful where you park? Okay.
You let him on your property. The property, we said, is open to anybody to come in and out, and you told him you're not, he can park it there. That's the same thing as saying somebody come onto my property.
Excellent, very good. But
it wasn't your dog.
But here's the counter time. He left town.
But he told you he's leaving.
So you go back to the other thing of the rush.
You weren't in town either at the time.
Good, but now you came back. So if it's not you, it's nobody.
Is the driveway enough?
It'd be like the case of sending the shoes to Chicago. So you're right. On the second aspect, you're 100% right that because my yard and people frequent it all the time, he can come check it on himself. But since he left town, it was important to mention that Nesivus and Aruch HaShulchan say there's no distinction between the owner leaving town or the actual Shomer leaving town. So it's no difference. I'm asking you to take my shoes and you leaving town, or me giving you my shoes and me leaving town. Right. It'd be the same thing.
Right.
So do you assume responsibility?
Is the property enough to make?
So it seemed like, right? I think so. That's Eric Kramer. I would assume so. Yeah. So I spoke to the Dayan yesterday. To Dayan Friedman. I don't know if I'm quoting correctly, but he had an interesting logic as follows. Do people ever ask anybody to assume responsibility for their car? Do I ever ask you, can you please watch or guard my car? And again, this is the way I'm interpreting his words. We had a very short time to do it, so it might not be a way of saying it all. If it is, then all the blame goes on me. I never ask you to watch my car. I could park my car in front of your driveway and leave it there for months. People that have vacation homes here, they leave their car there for months at a shot. No one needs anybody to guard or watch their car. They literally just need a place to put it.
They're going to put it in a safe spot.
So a safe spot, correct.
If I designate that spot, then it's a safe spot, and I know it's a safe spot, then I've given him a certain level of protection.
Correct. But what I want to come is as follows. We had the concept, logic of the rush, that if you leave town, it's so clearly evident from the circumstance that you're taking responsibility unless you flat or refuse. Because if it's not you, it's nobody. So I think we could say a logic of here as follows. That concept wouldn't apply over here. Because very nice he's leaving town. But what's he asking you for? Is he asking you to watch his car? Is he asking you to guard his car? Or is he just asking a place to put his car?
That's the point. Yeah, he wants to put it in a safe spot.
He wants to put in a safe spot, but you have nothing to do with responsibility. There's no there's no active responsibility that I have to make sure nothing happens to the car, because no one ever needs anyone to watch their car. Granted, yes, if you put it in a terrible spot, then I might need to ask you to watch my car to move it around once in a while so people don't steal it. But in a normal case where I just ask you, can I leave it in your driveway, I'm not asking you to assume responsibility for my car. I'm just asking you, would you be okay lending some of your property space for me to use? So in that case, we can say a new logic that barring all the previous concepts we mentioned, even the concept of the rush that you're leaving town, it's very possible I never assumed responsibility for this case at all. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
What would you say about a bank?